2 years with a series I've titled Top 10, Lessons from Old Testament Heroes. Choosing 10 was a challenge because there are so many others that could be and arguably should be on the list, but I have limited it to 10. Now, you're going to notice in my preaching this month that I'm not including Noah, certainly a great and godly man. There are many lessons that could be learned from Noah's life, but he's not on the list. I preached about Noah in the recent past and no doubt will again soon. And then some of you will be wondering as we get into this series, well, what about Joseph? Well, Joseph indeed is a great man. There's many lessons that we could learn from him, so many that later in 2020 I will be doing a series on the life of Joseph and what we can learn from him. I've titled that series, God Meant It for Good. I didn't feel like I could preach just one sermon on the life of Joseph. We're going to start this top 10 series with Abraham. The story of his life picks up in the 11th chapter of Genesis and continues all the way through chapter 25. This is the largest allocation of space in the Bible given to any of the patriarchs. His name is literally mentioned hundreds of times on the pages of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to take my primary text from the Old Testament, but from the New. These words were penned about 2,000 years after Abraham lived, but they provide sort of a thumbnail sketch of his life and what we can learn from Abraham about faith. If you'll turn with me to the great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I want to read for you verses 8 through 12, and then we're going to skip down to verses 17 through 19. I would remind you that you can follow along in the scriptures on the screen. These are also available on the Bible app, and so you can use that as well. Also, there's a handout that's available each week that has sort of the basic message outline on it, as well as the various scriptures that I will be referring to. So again, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12, and then verses 17 through 19, looking at the faith of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I don't want you to miss that. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city which foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as a star in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now drop down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him. Are you being tested right now? Do you feel like you're going through a test? Well, Abraham was really tested, as we will see. God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. There are three times in the New Testament we find the Old Testament declaration about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's found in the New Testament in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, and in James chapter 2, verse 23, James adds, "And he was God's friend. Not only was Abraham a man of faith, but he was God's friend as well. You know, if you grew up in the church, you may remember the course that was sung in Sunday school and children's church and vacation Bible schools. It went something like this: Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, so let's just praise the Lord. And then the body motions kicked in as the song continued. There was right arm, and there was left arm, and there was right foot, and there was left foot. And thus, there were many injuries that took place in the house of God. And I can still remember singing that song and punching someone in the shoulder or in the stomach and receiving the same gesture myself. The obvious lesson from the life of Abraham is one of faith. Let me ask you today, what is your level of faith? Is your faith something that is growing, it's getting stronger? Or is your faith something that is waning, getting much weaker? In this first message, we will learn from Abraham three kinds of faith. There was more kinds of faith he had, but three kinds of faith that Abraham and we need to have as well. The first is this: we need to have faith for an unknown future. Faith for an unknown future. We see that in verses 8 through 10. This past Wednesday marked not only the beginning of a new year, but of a new decade. I had some people ask me, what did you do for New Year's Eve? Did you welcome in the new year? Well, I was probably asleep at least 2.5 hours by the time New Year's Eve rang in. There was a time that I can remember staying up and beyond that point, but I didn't even hear the firecrackers. I didn't hear anything. I was out of it when New Year's came. But I can tell you, I found myself on New Year's Day thinking not only about 2019, but about the previous 10 years. And all of the things that have happened. As I thought about the past 10 years, I thought of some very good times and some bad ones too. I thought about some happy times and some sad ones as well. I thought about successes and failures, victories and defeats, and what ultimately came to the forefront of my mind was simply the faithfulness of God. Through it all, the good times, the bad times, the failures, the successes, was just the faithfulness of God. I've already referred to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. In a society that is changing faster than it has ever changed before, you may want to underline this verse in your Bible: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Life changes. The only constant is change. But one thing that does not change is our God. And then my attention turned to 2020 and the next decade. I thought about the coming year. I thought about my own life and family. I thought even about my age. I'm 56 now. I know you're shocked to see that I'm that age. But I thought, well, at the end of the next decade, I will be 66, 1 year away from receiving Social Security. I do pray that I get older. I'm praying it's still in place at that at that time. And then I thought of a quote by Corrie Ten Boom: Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." That's what Abraham did. With sort of keeping your thumb, if you've got a paper version of the Bible, if you've got the digital, it'll be easy to go back and forth, but we're going to sort of toggle back and forth between Hebrews chapter 11 and just a couple places in the book of Genesis, starting with Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the promise that came to Abraham from the Lord. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And this is the promise: "I'll make you into a great nation," and he has done that. "I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Let me just add something here. Pray for the Middle East. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but pray for the peace of all of the Middle East as well. You know, the call of God is always accompanied with a promise. True faith in the promise is always followed and joined to obedience to the call. Let me say that again. The call of God is always accompanied with a promise. True faith in the promise is always joined to obedience to the call. Verse 8 says, Abraham obeyed and went. We sang it this morning. I trust we believe it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Abraham did just that. These words indicate that he was obedient even as he was being called. There was no delay, there was no contemplation, there was no consideration as he heard what the Lord had told him to do. He was obedient even as he was being called. One Bible commentator said it this way, that he obeyed even while the call was still ringing in his ears. There's always a cost to the call. For Abraham, it meant leaving the security of home. There's no place like home. And he was being called to leave the security of home. He was launching out into the unknown. Abraham did not even know his destination. You know, when I leave home, I don't want to, the map days are over. I want the GPS or the Google Maps. I want to know where I'm going. And wow, what a blessing. I wonder how many accidents happened because people were looking at maps on their seat. But now they tell you that woman, I've tried to get a male voice. I can't seem to find a male voice. So I've got to be instructed by that female voice of where I am to go. At least it never says stop and ask for directions. Never does that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. For Abraham, following the call of God, meant an unsettled life. Most people are creatures of habit. The older we get, the harder it is to change. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4 says, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. Abraham was 75 years when he set out. Hebrews adds that where he was going, he would be a stranger in a foreign country. Abraham did not know the how, he didn't know the when, he didn't know the where, he didn't know the why, but he was obedient nonetheless. His motivation, verse 10, says this, back to Hebrews 11, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Abraham was looking beyond the present. He was looking beyond what was. He was, and to me, it is phenomenal that Abraham, with what he had to go on, he didn't have all of the Word of God as we have it. He didn't have the gathering of the people of God, any of those kind of things, but yet Abraham was obedient. He had a forward-looking faith. Let me challenge you as we enter a new year, a new decade, to have a forward-looking faith, not just looking back and thanking God for His faithfulness, but even in advance, thanking God for what He has for you in the future. In the New Testament, Paul said it this way, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and architect and foundation is God. The Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. We too are resident aliens. And if I had time, I could take you into Scripture, where Scripture says very clearly that we are indeed resident aliens. This world is not our home. So you may ask, well, Pastor Steve, how does this all apply to your life and mine? Well, here's three transferable principles before we move on. The first is this: less is more. Less is more. Having more of God in your life will require you to have less of something else. And therein lies the problem. Yeah, I want more of God, but I don't want to have less of some other things in my life. I want to embrace everything I currently have, everything I currently do. I want to continue to do all of these things, but yes, I really do. If I can fit them in, I really would like to have more of God in my life. For Abraham, it meant letting go of the familiar in order to become a great nation. Most of that he would not see in his lifetime. You know, sin and selfishness is what usually keeps us from having more of God in our lives, our marriages, our home, our finances. I think it's interesting if you look at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the opening verse of chapter 12, and of course the Holy Spirit did not inspire the chapter divisions nor the verse divisions. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are those great cloud of witnesses? Those we've just read about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. What are we supposed to do? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It causes us to do something, to recognize that less is more. Let me get real specific. To have more of God, you may have to rearrange your schedule. To have more of God, and I just know with a crowd this size, you're going to have to bring some sanity to your online social life. Because for so many, it's out of control. I'm not saying it's wrong or it's sinful, but for some people, they live their lives looking to see how many likes they got of the last cute picture that they posted. And again, I'm not against any of these things. I'm not saying these things are wrong or sinful. I can't take you to chapter or verse, but I can say if you want to have more of God in your life, it may be that your online life is going to have some boundaries. For some, that may be TV time. For some, it may be the number of commitments that they make. Maybe you're one of those people, every time someone, and I was there at one time in life and ministry, no matter what the invitation was, the answer was yes. Yes, I will do that. I can't remember the last time outside of responsibilities that I said yes. As a matter of fact, in the last year, I've said no to three or four major opportunities that came my way, because I, and not that any of those were wrong, not all any of them were unworthy causes, it just, that's not where I am, that's not where I can place my energy right now. So the first step you may have to take is recognizing that less is more. The second transferable truth I see here is take one step at a time. God didn't tell Abraham where he was going. He didn't tell everything that was waiting there. But he didn't show him the whole picture. Some of us want to see the whole picture unfold before us before we will take a step of faith. But I want you to know, God kept every single promise he had made. The third transferable truth is living this kind of faith will require you to live off of the promises of God. Live off the promises of God. The food of faith is God's word. It's his promise. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is how our faith, this is literally the food of our faith. Now again, Abraham didn't have all that we have, but Abraham had the promise of God. Abraham demonstrated faith for an unknown future. And let me tell you, that's the only kind of future there is in this world, is the unknown future. Now, we know the certainty of the coming of Jesus Christ. We know the certainty of heaven and all of that. But the only kind of future that we have is an unknown future. Abraham also demonstrated faith for an unbelievable promise. an unbelievable promise. And we have so many promises in the Word of God, but perhaps the Lord has dropped a promise in your heart. I want you to know Abraham had faith for an unbelievable promise. We see this in verses 11 and 12 of our text. Faith believes the seeming unbelievable. Abraham is called the father of faith because he believed God when he told him he was going to do something humanly impossible. Back to the promise given to Abraham, Genesis 12, verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. But also look with me at verse 15. You know, at times the Lord comes and He renews the promise. He reminds us of the promise. Maybe he adds to that. And in Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 1 through verse 6, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Let me tell you, Eliezer of Damascus really missed out, didn't he? And it goes on to say, and Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, count the stars in the sky, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord. Listen to this. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I won't take the time to read Genesis chapter 18 and the angelic encounter that both Abram and Sarah had with the angel of the Lord. And won't have time to go into chapter 21 where Isaac is born. By the way, Isaac is born 25 years after the promise is given. So for 25 years, Abraham had to hold on to that promise. Now, about at the halfway point, Abraham and Sarah had a lapse of faith. Have you ever had a lapse of faith? Three or four of you have had a lapse of faith. You're such a spiritual congregation, I'll tell you. Abraham and Sarah had a lapse of faith, and Ishmael was born. Later, when God came back and said, I'm going to make even Ishmael into a great nation, into a great people. We don't want to forget that promise as well. And Abraham said, Lord, if your blessing can just rest upon Ishmael. Some of you have Ishmaels. I'm not talking about literal individuals or people in your life, but you have Ishmaels in your life, and you're saying, Lord, would you just bless this Ishmael in my life? Will you just bless Second Best? Well, God wouldn't do that. He comes and he renews the promise here at this time. At this time, everything in Abraham's life cried out against the fulfillment of the promise. Everything in Abraham's life cried out against the promise. In Genesis chapter 18, Sarah was reaching 90 years of age. God would have to miraculously open her womb. Verse 12 of our text states that Abraham's body was what? As good as dead. Meant that he had lost his physical ability to father a child. By faith, Abraham functioned sexually and was enabled to father a child. The result, the Jewish nation. The result, every Christian. Your father, Abraham is your father of faith. Well, there's just one transferable lesson I want to share here in this portion of Scripture, and that is faith faces facts without faltering. I've heard some people say faith doesn't face facts. Well, Abraham faced the fact. Abraham reasoned. Abraham didn't check his brain in at the door. Abraham reasoned. Well, let's see here. He's saying I should sacrifice Isaac, as we will see, and my body's as good as dead. But we find that he was able to face the facts. Able to face the facts. If you're sick, my friend, you're sick. That doesn't saying I'm sick is not lack of faith. or any among you, any sick among you, James chapter 5, you should call the elders of the church, anoint them, pray over them. So faith is not facing the facts, it's facing the facts without faltering. Romans chapter 4. Look with me there at verses 18 through 22. And this is what Paul writes. This is what Paul writes about this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it is said, had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Faith faces the facts without faltering. We learn from Abraham that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. There are many lessons we can learn from the life of Abraham. There's just one more that we have time for, and that is faith for the inevitable tests. Faith for the inevitable tests. You think there may be some tests ahead for you in 2020? You know, I'm so thankful God doesn't show us the future. I'm so thankful we can't see around the corner. I really am. I would not want to know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year, unless it was really good. Everything was all wonderful. That's okay. But faith, the faith we need is for the inevitable test that await us. We see that in our text in verses 17 through 19. There is a big difference between tests and temptations. God tests us, and Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, God tested him. God tested Abraham. So God tests us, or even allows trials into our lives for one purpose, that we might stand, that our faith might grow, that we might be victorious. God's tests are never designed to reduce us, but to produce something in us. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, and he goes on to write the various things that faith produces, that it produces in our life. Satan, however, tempts us for one reason, that we might fall. James also says in James chapter 1, verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I don't have time to tell the story, don't have time to read the text, but in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham faced his darkest hour. God instructed him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. It is an incredible story. This is high drama. The bottom line is, Abraham decided that God could be trusted even when what God told him to do did not make sense. This is the way God tested Abraham's love for him. Listen to the way Isaac is described in Genesis 22, verse 2. God refers to him as your only son. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, the writer of the Hebrews says, your one and only son. What does that sort of sound like? Does it sort of sound like John chapter 3, verse 16? You know, here we know that what Abraham did on Mount Moriah foreshadows what God did on Calvary. We admire Abraham's willingness to give up his son to a righteous God. How much more should we adore and worship a God who gave up his son for unrighteous sinners? And we know that Abraham passed the test. Genesis 22, verse 12 says, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. If you're new to the faith, if you're new to the Bible, Isaac was not sacrificed. There was a ram who was caught in the thicket, and that ram was sacrificed instead of Isaac. Let me ask you, what have you done Or what are you doing that indicates that you're really trusting God? What in your life have you done? What are you currently doing that really indicates that you're really trusting God? The takeaway from this chapter of Abraham's life and the fact that all of us will face an inevitable test is this. The real test of your love for God is not what you give, but what you won't, what you withhold. What is it that you can't give? What is it that you won't give God? If you can't give God what is His, how will you ever give God what is yours or you think is yours? Ultimately, everything that we have is God's. We are only stewards. Stewards of our lives, stewards of our bodies, our families, our finances. It all belongs to God. One time I filled in for a pastor to officiate at the funeral of a very, very wealthy man, a multi-millionaire. And the pastor contacted me and said, you know, this man is not well. He could die while I'm gone. And if so, I've given your name to the family. So his name came to me, and I did not know him. There were no surviving members of the family. And I then received a call from an attorney. An attorney said, I will meet you at the door. I will fill you in on exactly what will be taking place. Just prepare a few nice words about him. So I met the attorney at the door, and the attorney told me a little bit about this man, and I officiated at his service, and I thought maybe I was going to have to help carry the casket to the grave because there were so few people that were present at that time. But it reminds me of a story of two guys looking in the casket of a very wealthy man who had died, and someone said, how much did he leave? The other man said, he left it all. He left it all. And that's what we do, isn't it? We truly do. We leave it all. And it doesn't really matter at that point whether we've got a lot or whether we have a little. We leave it all. God owns all that we have. Everything that we have, the very breath of life, He gives to us. We are only stewards of our lives. We're only stewards of our bodies. We're only stewards of families. We're only stewards of our finances because everything belongs to God. The lesson from Abraham on this first Sunday of 2020 is faith. It's faith. Faith for an unknown future. Faith for an unbelievable promise. And faith even for the inevitable tests. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the life of Abraham, the father of faith.